Evidence to help you trust the Bible. Consistent message. The Bible message. We want to look at three vital issues that are relevant to us all. Where did we come from? What is the meaning of life? And where are we going? We shall look at different aspects of these issues and see how the Bible gives one consistent message. We shall look at three passages from different parts of the Bible to show the consistent message. We shall only read the relevant phrases, but we recommend that you look up the verses and let us know if you disagree with our conclusions. Let's start by thinking about the first topic. Where did we come from? Here are some examples of what the Bible tells us about where we came from. The first book of the Bible makes these simple statements. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and chapter 2 verse 7. The prophet Jeremiah tells of the power of our Creator. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. The apostle Paul gave the Greeks at Athens the same message. God made the world and everything in it. He gives life to all, breath and all things. Acts 17 verses 24 and 25. The Bible also tells us that the God who created our world does not change. We can see that this is true because in our experience, the natural laws which govern our world do not change. The same laws also apply beyond our planet, which indicates that the same power is in control throughout the universe. Here are three Bible verses. The psalmist says of God, "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." Psalm 102 verse 27. God, speaking through the prophet Malachi, makes a similar statement. "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Malachi 3 verse 6. And the apostle James describes God as the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. James 1 verse 17. Because our Creator does not change, the Bible tells us that his message does not change either. This is an important issue to consider. When we are thinking of the vital issues about our life, we need a message that we know is true, so that we can put our trust in it. Moses refers to God as a God of truth, Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. The sentiment is echoed in the Psalms. The entirety of your word is truth, Psalm 119 verse 160. And Jesus also gave the same message. Your word is truth, John 17 verse 17. Because his message is true, the God of the Bible asks us to respect and obey what he says. Right at the start, God gave our first parents a simple command. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat." Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17. In the Psalms, God asks people to listen to him. "Oh, that my people would listen to me," Psalm 81 verse 13. Again, Jesus gave the same message, but he said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it," Luke 11 verse 28. Throughout the Bible, we can see that God approves of those people who do what he wants. At the start of the Bible, Abraham was approved by God because he accepted what he said. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Genesis 15, verse 6. The Jews were promised a blessing if they obeyed God. "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today." Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 and 27. Jesus regarded those who respected God's purpose as his close family. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Mark 3 verse 35. Because we have the choice, we can reject God's message. The Bible has many examples of those who reject God's requests. Right at the start, our first parents chose to disobey God. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Genesis 3, verse 6. One period of Jewish history is summarized like this. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26. The apostles in the first century encountered those who rejected God's word. It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. To summarize what the Bible says about where we came from, we've seen that we were created by a power greater than ourselves, our Creator does not change, our Creator has given us a message that we can rely on, and he asks respect for the message. He approves of those who respect the message, but he also allows people to reject the message. We'll now look at what the Bible tells us about the meaning of life. Firstly, the Bible shows that our Creator is concerned about people. Our Creator's care for us is seen all through the Bible. Our Creator has promised that the natural cycles which support our lives will continue. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Genesis 3 verse 22. The prophet Jeremiah told the Jews what their attitude should be. Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Jeremiah 5 verse 24. Jesus tells us that God's care is shown to all, regardless of their attitude to him. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. We see from the Bible that God sent his Son to show us how we should reflect his care. The Jews were promised a special prophet who would speak for God. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Jesus came to show us what God is like. Jesus said to him, to his disciple Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. John chapter 14, verse 9. By following Christ's example of showing love, we are imitating God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible shows that God's care for people involves a plan to enable them to have life after death. The writer of Psalm 49 had confidence in God's plan. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Psalm 49, verse 15. The plan involves the work of God's Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5, verse 10. We shall look at more aspects of this plan of God later. We have seen that our Creator cares about us and has arranged a plan to enable us to have life after death. This must give us real hope for the future, despite our present problems. King David showed his confidence in God. "The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge." 2 Samuel 22, verse 3. Psalm 18 tells us that it is better to trust in God rather than national rulers. "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Psalm 118, verses 6 and 9. The Apostle Paul tells us to trust in the one who has power over death. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. But the Bible tells us that those who are not interested in God's plan must take the consequences. If we ignore God's message, we shall have no long-term future. The people in Noah's day rejected God's message and were destroyed. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." Genesis 6, verses 5 and 7. The book of Proverbs tells us the consequences of ignoring God and going our own way. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Proverbs 14, verse 12. Jesus likened the rejection of his words to building a house without foundations. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Matthew 7, verses 26 and 27. So to summarise then, the Bible is telling us that our Creator is concerned about people. God sent his Son to show us how to reflect that care in our own lives. God's care for people involves a plan to enable them to have life after death. And knowing that we have a caring God gives us confidence in his promise of a future life after death. But there is no life after death for those who are not interested in God's plan. Finally, we shall think about what the Bible tells us about where we are going. We see that God's plan involves people being raised from the dead. The Bible assures us that some people will be raised from the grave and given endless life. "Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise." Isaiah 26, verse 19. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Daniel 12 and verse 2. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. That last verse tells us two important facts. Firstly, it tells us that the resurrection will take place when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth. Secondly, it tells us that it will be those who have a relationship with Christ who will be raised. We also learn from the Bible that a worldwide peaceful kingdom is another part of his plan. Throughout the Bible, many verses talk of a future world order different from today's. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. "And in the days of these kings the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel 2, verse 44. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever." Revelation 11, verse 15. We learn from the Bible that God plans to fill the earth with people who respect him. We can have the wonderful hope of being involved in this peaceful worldwide kingdom on earth. "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Psalm 37, verse 11. "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High." Daniel 7, verse 27. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6. So then we can summarise what the Bible tells us about our long-term future. It tells us that those who die in Christ will be raised from the dead when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, and that they will then be involved in a peaceful, worldwide kingdom on earth.